You're listening to Morning Edition on Red River Radio. On a Tuesday, commentator Gary Joyner is here to assess a sad day that proves a single event can change the history of the world.
Friday marks the 50th anniversary of the assassination in Dallas of President John Fitzgerald Kennedy. For those of us old enough to remember, it stands as a hallmark of change, a marker by which we view things before and after. That fateful day in 1963 also fell on a Friday. It was crisp and cold, the sun shining brightly as President Kennedy and his motorcade slowly paraded through downtown Dallas on the way to deliver a speech at the International Trademark. His wife, Jacqueline, sat beside him in a bright pink suit and hat. Sitting in the seats in front of the couple were the governor of Texas, John Conley, and his wife, Nellie. The Secret Service suggested that a bulletproof bubble canopy be used on the Lincoln Continental limousine. But John Kennedy wanted to be up close to an adoring crowd. As the entourage made a right turn into Dealey Plaza, it slowed down and made a left turn toward a triple underpass, and then three shots rang out. The president was mortally wounded, and Governor Connally was hit as well. We all know these facts. The conjecture is what really happened and how those three fateful shots changed history. John Kennedy was looking to repair political damage in Texas. He wanted to use this visit as a stage to launch a campaign for his second term in office. Instead, those rounds catapulted the world in different directions. That same month, the president was doing damage control over the assassination of the president of South Vietnam. He had proposed sweeping civil rights changes that would make him even more unpopular in a skeptical South. Following the Cuban Missile Crisis of the previous year, he proposed limits on nuclear arms and a treaty with the Soviet Union to do so. He proposed to draw down to a lower level much of America's nuclear deterrent in bombers, submarines, and missiles. He had also begun a major crackdown on organized crime, focusing on the mob bosses in Miami, New Orleans, Chicago, and New York City. All of this might appear to be merely policies of a young, energetic national leader, but when his assassination happened in a state and region that was not friendly to him, where the assassin was a pro-communist ex-Marine who was known to be a friend of the Cuban Revolution, and where the murder weapon was a cheap, inaccurate Italian rifle, few believed Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. Today, 50 years later, between 60% and 70% of Americans believe it was a conspiracy, depending upon the poll that you read. What did it mean for the country? Many observers have said that America lost its innocence that cold day in November. The World War II generation went almost immediately from being the leaders and shakers into the silent majority. The country fragmented as Kennedy's successor, Lyndon B. Johnson, tried his best to carry on the agendas left to him by the younger, more energetic predecessor. Vietnam spiraled upwards out of control with no discernible strategy. The Cold War heated up again, and millions of young people decided that government was bad and could not be trusted. For that matter, no one over 30 years of age should be trusted. We became a nation of hawks and doves, losing respect for what had come before. This malaise lasted for over a generation. It did not help that a rush to judgment concluded that Oswald acted alone and that no outside force, domestic or foreign, in the government or outside it, was culpable. That horrible day in Dallas 50 years ago Friday clearly proves that history matters.